but no one else's life, death, and resurrection were foretold that it would happen. And many claimed that they would rise from the dead, but only Jesus himself told exactly when and it did happen. Many years ago, in fact, almost four decades ago, I was leaving work one day, and there was a man that I was a young man back then, so he was a young man back then also. He was a Jehovah's Witness, and we used to have conversations now and then. We were leaving work, and as we were going to our cars, he stopped me. And he said, "James, do you celebrate Easter?" I said, "That all depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about the celebration of Astarte, no. You're talking about the what they call the goddess of heaven, where you celebrate with the bunny rabbits and the eggs and that kind. No, I don't. I'm sorry. Not that I'm sorry, but I don't. Okay? You know that the word Easter only appears one time in the King James Version of the Bible. Everywhere else, the word is translated Passover. In the New King James Version, it never even appears because it was a mistranslation of the for the goddess Astarte. Okay, and she was considered the goddess, the Chaldean goddess of fertility, and could call the queen of heaven. But I told him, "But if you're asking me if I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, yes, sir, I do. 365 days a year, and on leap year, 366 days." He said, there are other people that say, "Well, when you take the bunny rabbits and the eggs out of it, then you take all the fun out of it." You can open your Bibles to the book of, where we want to go here, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I'm going to show you something about Christian fun. Beginning at verse 8. And this is when Jesus spoke to his 70 disciples. He told them, he sent them out, and he told them that wherever you enter, whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are there. And say to them, the kingdom of God is come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. So he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Then in verse 17, It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Amen. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Yes. So they say I'm taking the fun out when I get rid of the rabbits and the eggs. No, that's not what's fun.
Amen.
The real fun is that because Jesus has been raised from the dead, my name is written in heaven.
Amen.
And he has given me authority over the workers of darkness.
Amen.
That's where the real fun comes in.
Amen.
In this thing. All right. See, we have to understand this. God created us for fellowship. And I know some of you might get tired of hearing this from me, because in just about every message, I guess, I preach, I talk about that creation and all like that. And we blew it.
Yep, big time.
And it left a price to be paid. John 3:16, most of us know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But what many don't understand is that the sacrifice that Jesus had to pay was not easy, and it was not simple, like most people might think. Matthew 21. Matthew 21, as Jesus was getting ready, this was the week when leading up to the crucifixion, which we call his triumphant entry. Beginning at verse 1, Matthew 21, 1. And when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches and trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna. Anybody here that remember hearing that today? To the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. So everything up to this point looks good, right? Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So, even though when we think about things pertaining to the resurrection, we see here it didn't start out nearly as good as many of us might have thought it did. I somewhat understand what Jesus felt when he went into the temple and the people were in there doing the money changing and all that. I was at a church one Sunday and they were in there, they even had a cash register and all. And they had the people coming up and people would come up and saying, I'm giving $50. And then the people break out in applause. And somebody else said, my wife and I are giving $100. And people would break out in applause and all. And I said, wait a minute, what is this?
Yeah.
And then there was a woman that came up. She didn't say anything at all. She just went up to the offering place and put her money in the offering bucket. And I told Kim, time to go. And we got up and we left. Because I could just somewhat experience how Jesus' heart must have been broken when he comes into the temple looking for people to be worshiping God. And here they are, their whole business is about exchanging money. So that was how the week started. Then also, in chapter 26, same book, Matthew chapter 26, as they went to eat there, as Jesus was eating his final meal with his disciples, verse 21, he makes a declaration to them. He said, truly I say to you, one of you is going to betray me. After having been with them for over 3 years and the great things that he had done around them and they had seen, can you imagine? He knew that it was going to have to happen. And these are men that he loved dearly. But he declares to them, one of you is going to betray me. It's not looking as joyful as many of us might think this time would have been for him. From there, they went out to Gethsemane. And when Jesus made it known that he was going to be turned over and that he was going to be killed, Peter declared that, Lord, I will never turn from you, even if I have to die with you. I'll never turn from you. Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will have denied even knowing me three times. And it happened just like that. Three times, Peter was asked about, don't you know this man? Aren't you one of his disciples? And Peter, on the third time, began to cuss and to swear that I don't know anything about him. I'm not his disciple. I don't know anything about him. And Jesus had to go through all of this leading up to his crucifixion. Then, in chapter 26, same book, Jesus went and prayed. And in his prayer, he asked the question, Father, if it's possible, will you please let this cup pass from me? And we need to understand Jesus was not afraid of death. But for the first time in all of eternity, he was about to be separated from his Father. And he said, if there's any other way that we can do this, please let it be. But nevertheless, not mine, but your will be done. From there, when he was delivered up and hung on the cross, in Matthew 27, verse 46, as he was hanging there, he makes a declaration. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus had become the sin of the world. He had taken your sin and my sin upon himself. And it was such a thing that the Father could not even look at him anymore. And Jesus had to ask, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you just left me here like this? But it had to be that way. Because let me ask this, what is the wages of sin? Wages of sin is death. And it's not just dying as far as a physical death, it's separation from God. So that is what, where you find Jesus. He's there and he feels forsaken that his Father has completely left him. Now, he had already said in one of his sermons, he was teaching them in Matthew 12, he told them that the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So when he died, he was taken to hell. And to think about it, we have to understand this also. Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and 8, don't forget this one thing, that with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Time is not the same with God as it is with us. So when we say that Jesus was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, one of the reasons that he was saying that, praying, my God, if it's any other way, we think 3 days and 3 nights. Jesus paid the full price for our sin.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
So he had to step out of what we consider time into what time is to God, and he had to endure all of eternity combined that we would have had to suffer. He had to suffer everything that we would have had to suffer for eternity. He had to take that in our place, in mine, as well as in yours. In the book of Psalms chapter 16, so I'm going to see a few things here. It said in Psalm 16, verse 9, he said, but therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. He said, in spite of all, I am thankful, Father, that you're not going to leave my soul in hell. Though it might seem like it, I mean, that all that he's going to be suffering, he said, but I'm thankful to know that you're not going to leave me there. But what did he have to deal with while he was there? Psalm 88. And see, why am I going through this? Because we rejoice today and we celebrate today the resurrection, but we need to also know what Jesus had to go through before he got here.
Yes.
It's not just about getting together with family and having a good meal today. We need to understand what he had to endure for us to be able to celebrate here. Psalm 88, beginning at verse 1. It says, O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down into the pit. I am like a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in the darkest, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your ways. These are the things, even David, though David wrote this, David wasn't going through this. These are things that David was prophetically speaking about what Jesus would endure. Verse 14, he says, Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your tremors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water. They engulfed me altogether. Loved one and friend, you have put off from me, put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. These are things that our Lord and Savior was having to suffer, that he was having to go through for us, for what we have done. I know some of you feel like, well, I didn't sin that much. And every sin you have ever committed, he had to pay for. Every sin I have ever committed, he had to pay for. Psalm 1 through 7. 18. Beginning at verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength, the Lord of my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Jesus, while he was in hell, was crying out to his Father for help. He was suffering, but he was crying out to his Father for help. He says, but his Father heard him. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon the cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were uncovered at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. God is now, that Jesus has paid the price.
Hallelujah.
And now God,
thank you,
is done with it and done with the enemy, what the enemy was doing to his son. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemies, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. At the time, because Jesus had become sin, they were too strong for him. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. You notice that? Who else would be able to proclaim that other than Jesus himself, that they were righteous? And according to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Even though he was suffering, it wasn't because of anything he had done. It was because of what we had done and even yet now do. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. For I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. Verse 37, here's where it really gets to be something. If that wasn't. I have pursued my enemies. Now, this is where the battle has turned around. Jesus said, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with the strength for the battle. You have subdued under my feet those who rise against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save them, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Jesus was beating them so bad, they began to, you have these demons crying out, asking God for help. He said, but God didn't answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. This is what happened in hell, a battle that took place in hell after Jesus had to go there and suffer for us. Before coming back here, God raised him from the dead, turned things around down there, and that's where he gained the victory over the enemy, a victory that still stands to this day.
Amen.
All right? And when you call upon the name of Jesus today before the enemy, they remember that.
Yeah.
Okay? And so It should put us in a place of confidence, of knowing that when we're believing and standing on the name of Jesus and rebuking the enemy in his name, that we are standing in a place of victory.
Amen.
So that passage that Pastor Roy read a bit earlier today, trying to steal my message, where Jesus said, "Therefore it is written that thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day." That was, this had to happen.
Amen.
If we were going to have a chance to be saved. All right, so it had to happen. And let me finish with this. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. After Jesus had risen from the dead. It says, beginning at verse 14. "Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go,'" and this goes for, is for us also, "'go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not, by no means, is it, harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.'" This is a charge that Jesus has given us for all that he did for us. This is how we are to pay back, to show our gratitude. We are to go and share this good news with the world, the things that he has done. We are to truly believe, even to the point, and I know many of you feel like, "Well, I don't have the power to do this." No, you don't have the power to do anything. The power is in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, "Lay hands on the sick and they will recover." If you believe, pray for the sick that they might recover. We cast out demons. We don't run from them in fear. We cast them out. We believe and trust Jesus paid that price. Let us believe in what he has done for us. And let us give ourselves as his vessels that he might use us to make the things that he died for a reality in this world. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. So great a price that was paid for our salvation, for our deliverance. We thank you, Lord, that we can rejoice today in the fact that you didn't leave your son Jesus there, but you raised him. After he had paid the price, you raised him from the dead, and we believe it, and we thank you for it.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to rise up and to be the children of God that we ought to be, to light the examples, all that we should be to the world. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name that we give thanks and glory and honor, now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.